Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in, or perhaps you found the program. I want to tell you that I am Father Cedric Pazegna. I am a passionist priest and a religious, and we have a wonderful dedication to the cross of Jesus, to the passion of Jesus. We meditate upon his passion and his love for us. And we passionists are located in 60 countries throughout the world and in many different places here in the United States. This particular program is being broadcast to you from Houston, Texas, in this beautiful chapel that we have here at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. But I wanted to let you know about one of our monasteries in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm on TV in Scranton. There's a Catholic TV station there that broadcasts my program, and I've met so many people there in Scranton. And I wanted to tell you that every year they have what's called a novena to St. Anne at that monastery in Scranton. Thousands of people come. They are bused from Pittsburgh, New York, and the surrounding areas, and thousands of people come to every day of that novena. It's a very beautiful. There's five services a day, about 1,000 people at every service. Well, I had the privilege of preaching at that novena, and the people were everywhere. What you're about to see is the 8:30 service in the morning. It was the first service of the day. People brought their lawn chairs and they sat out in the hot July sun. But they came because they wanted to hear the Word of God. And they came because they wanted to worship God. So we're going to go to the recorded live preaching now. Stay tuned, and I pray that this will inspire you and touch your heart. The theme we have for the novena is Passion for Christ. And I want to talk about that this morning. And I wanted to tell you a story about this group of nuns who were driving down a highway, and they were all dressed up in their habits. And they were on Highway 35, Interstate 35, and policemen drove up to the car with the lights flashing and pulled them over. And he went up to the driver. He says, "Sister," he says, "what in the world are you doing?" He says, "You're going 35 miles an hour on a major interstate." He says, "What are you doing?" And the sister said, "Well, officer, the sign said 35. He said, "No, sister, that's Interstate 35. Then he looks in the back seat, and he sees one of the nuns, an elderly nun, and she's frozen in fear. She's like this, and he goes, what happened to her? The driver says, "I don't know, officer, but she's been like that ever since we got off Highway 101. Well, the reason why I tell you that story is because I want to talk about prayer, because prayer is the wonderful way to get passion for Jesus. And there's 101 different ways to pray. You have to realize that we passionists are monastic as well as apostolic. What that means is we spend a lot of time in prayer. And it's from our prayer and seeking God and our passion for Jesus that we then go out and preach and minister. And that's exactly what Jesus did, if you think about it. He spent sometimes all night in prayer to God. And then in the morning, he'd get up full of passion and invigorated by the Holy Spirit, and he'd go out and he'd minister to the people and bring healing and good news and salvation. And we passionists do the same thing. As I said, St. Paul of the Cross had this vision that he would send out his missionaries. And just as Jesus went forth from the Father and then came back to the bosom of the Father, we would go spend time in the bosom of the Father, then go out and minister as missionaries, and then come back to the bosom of the Father, get nourished, strengthened, and then go back out and minister. So really, we passionists are all about prayer, primarily. And not just prayer, it's communion and union and intimacy with God. That's the heart of prayer. And what that does is, you know, when you spend time in prayer and when you spend time with the Lord, you can't help but get passion for Jesus. And you can't help but get passion generally in life. I
I want to tell you that really the heart of prayer is spending time with Jesus. You stay with Jesus. You abide in Jesus. That's the heart of prayer, simply giving yourself to Him. In the Catechism, there's a quote, the whole fourth section in the Catechism is all about prayer. There's a beautiful quote that I like. It's from the peasant of Ars, France. And the peasant said, this is what prayer is. I look at Him, and He looks at me. And I think that's so beautiful. You can't be afraid of silence. There's not always fireworks. There's not always explosions when it comes to prayer. There's not always a lot of comfort. Prayer demands commitment, perseverance, fidelity, and faithfulness. It is our relationship with God that we're after. I was on the west side of the United States. I was in Big Sur, California. The Benedictines have a monastery there, 1,300 feet right off of Route 1, overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And every year, through the grace of God, I get to go out there and I go on what's called a contemplative retreat. So I spend 8 days by myself in a little trailer and in pure silence. And I love it because most of my life is surrounded by people. I'm ministering, I'm traveling, I'm writing, I'm producing, I'm doing TV and all these different things. I just want to get away from it all and spend time with God to get recentered. And I think that's what a novena is. It's a time to get recentered and fixed on Jesus and looking at Him and getting grounded in Him. But anyway, just to let you know, I prayed for 8 solid days. That's all I did. I read books, took walks, looked at the stars at night, and oh, there were no lights around, and you could see the milk of the Milky Way. It was so beautiful. Looked at the ocean, looked at creation. It was just absolutely beautiful. Well, one of the things that I did, beside reading books and writing some a little bit and praying with the monks and taking walks, I read the Bible. That's one of the reasons why I'm giving you the Word Among Us, and if you didn't get one, I hope that you'll go downstairs. It's the daily Mass readings, because I want you reading the Scriptures. And as I read the Bible there alone on my retreat a week ago, I came upon Isaiah 42. And when we all read the Bible, we want God to speak to us, and that's a part of prayer. Reading books is a part of prayer. Listening to music is a part of prayer. Going to a novena is a part of prayer. But certainly as I was reading the Bible, this is what I came upon, and it so touched me and colored my retreat. Isaiah 42, Isaiah 43. And God says, I have grasped you by the hand. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I call you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. I am the Lord. That was so comforting to me. I remember thinking, my Lord, you've got me doing all these things, going in front of all these people. I'm a little scaredy cat. How am I going to do all this? The TV and the writing and the traveling and the producing and the big novena that's coming up. And all this production, how am I going to do it? And you know what God said? Cedric, I'm going to hold your hand. And you know what I said to God? I said, you hold my hand, and I can do anything because you are with me. And I want to tell you that on this novena, already I've met many of you down at the book table, as I've blessed you. Many of you have talked with me. And I have met people that have all kinds of different conditions. Some of you are sick. Some of you have cancer. I've met people who are grieving, other people who have spina bifida, MS. Some people are depressed. Most of you are older, and you're going through some hardships in your life. And I want to say that the word that God gave me on retreat from Isaiah 42 and 43 is a word for you. And what does God tell you this morning? I want to hold your hand. I will take you through the waters. I have redeemed you, and you are mine. And I call you by name. I am the Lord. So, oftentimes God doesn't remove the waters, but He takes us, as we heard in the book of Exodus, through the waters. God didn't give you the cancer and the spina bifida and the MS and the depression, but He's going to hold your hand and take you through it. See, that's prayer. That's why we go to the Word of God. That's why we spend time fixing our gaze on Jesus, so that we can be strong and more than a conqueror through Him who loves us. I need to tell you that oftentimes prayer can be very difficult. As you know, you try to stay faithful and you persevere. And there are desert moments. At Mass this morning, we heard about the desert. And desert moments are when you feel dry and it doesn't seem like anything's working. Well, let me tell you about St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of the Passionists. As you know, he was a founder of a great community that is monastic and apostolic. But St. Paul of the Cross lived to be 81 years old. Those of you who are a little bit older, take heart. St. Paul of the Cross didn't die at age 45. He lived to be 81. And they're telling us, historians are telling us, that for the last 20 years or so of his life, he went through a spiritual desert. In other words, he didn't feel the consolation of God. Some even say that he was depressed, and it was very difficult for him. But what I love about St. Paul of the Cross and what made him such a great spiritual director is that he persevered, and he stayed faithful. See, prayer isn't all about the warm fuzzies and the fireworks and the rainbows, as I was saying before. It's about being faithful to God. And God himself will hold your hand as you walk through it. And that's what made him such a great spiritual director, because he could identify with people that were going through a desert and going through hard times. So I need to tell you that even if you're struggling in your prayer life, it's still good. It's still acceptable to God. What God is after is faithfulness. He's after perseverance. And when he decides to give you the consolation, he'll give you the consolation. I wanted to tell you that your prayers will be answered, by the way, many of them. We're all looking for manifestations. Now, I have to tell you that sometimes I struggle with this. You know, when I pray to God with petitions, oftentimes I don't see the manifestation of my petitions. But every once in a while, that's what I'm hoping this will be for you, every once in a while, you get that manifestation, and you know that God is answering your prayers. For example, I remember I was flying to back to Houston from Massachusetts, my home state. About 5 years ago, I gave a mission on Cape Cod. And it was the church where the Kennedys are, and Carolyn Kennedy got married. It's in Centerville in Cape Cod. And I remember I was flying out of Logan Airport, flying. It was a great mission. I was real happy. And I'm sitting next to the window there. And our flight track from Boston to Houston took us over New York City. And New York was right out my left window there, and I'm looking down at this sprawl of people, just millions of people, all of Long Island. You could see it off in a distance. And I began to pray. By the way, I like to pray on airplanes, especially when we're taking off, when we're landing. It just seems kind of natural for me. But anyway, yeah, I can't help but be moved, you know, when you see the mountains and everything and the water. But I saw all those people, and you know what I prayed? I said, Lord, I said, I've been a minister, I've been a priest now for all these years, and I've preached all around the country. I said, please open a door for me to preach to the New Yorkers. You know, I've never been there to preach. And I said, even though they're Yankee fans, I really think that they would enjoy. I'm sorry, I grew up in Massachusetts. What can I say? And those of you who are watching in New York, please don't hold this against me. But anyway, little did I know, about a year later, I started getting on TV in all five boroughs of downtown New York, Brooklyn and Manhattan Island, Staten Island, you know, all those millions of people all across Long Island on Telecare. They start inviting me in to preach missions and to proclaim the gospel in Brooklyn and Long Island. I have many of my missions there lined up. God opened that door for me, and I said, Lord, thank you for the manifestation of that one prayer when I was looking out the window that day. Most of the time we'll pray prayers and forget all about the fact that we even prayed it. So God does answer your prayers. So stay faithful, persevere, be in faith. For your family, for your children, for your spouses, for your bodies. And you watch how God will answer your prayers. Now, we don't always see manifestations to everything, because sometimes it's not according to the will of God. But the bottom line is, God does hear you, and he does honor our prayers. So I invite you to not be afraid of silence. Fix your face on Jesus. Keep praying with faith and knowing that he is there. And then I want to say, be led by the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, sometimes I'll be taking a walk and all of a sudden this person will pop into my mind I haven't thought about for years. What is that? Well, I think it's the Holy Spirit prompting me to pray for that person. And so I just simply say a prayer for them. Or I'll be watching the news. Sometimes I'll be watching the news. You know, you see these terrible situations and tragedies that are going on in our country and the world, like the dead or earthquakes or nuclear disasters or whatever it is. Pray for that. Don't just say, oh, look how terrible the world is. God wants to work through us to bring redemption to the world. And then I've realized that, you know what, prayer changes me. I remember one time I was preaching a mission in Louisiana, and I finished the mission, and I was driving back home, and there was a package store, and here's all these, about three young thugs going into the package store, you know, baggy pants, earrings, tattoos, and everything. And I said, you know, look at this. I just preached with all these beautiful people and everything, and look at these guys. They're in the darkness. They're lost. And you know what I heard deep within me? Cedric, don't judge them. Pray for them. They need salvation. So prayer changes me. Instead of judging people and being critical of people, I become a person that prays for people. And God works through our prayers, and he hears our prayers. I do a lot of ministry with the 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. And the 11th step is all about prayer. And they say that prayer is conscious contact with God. That's what we're all about here during this novena. Praying in faith, fixing our eyes on Jesus, expecting a manifestation from God. Don't be threatened by silence. Silence is the language of love. And it's your prayer life that's going to give you passion for God, passion for Christ. And may the passion of our Lord be always in our hearts. Amen.
You have it in you to pray. You can pray. It's instinct. It's within all of us. People from 8 to 80 can pray. It's in everybody. Whether you've been going to church or not, you can pray. In fact, Paul the Apostle says, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives in you? That's what I teach people all the time, that even if you're an atheist, even if you're an agnostic, the Holy Spirit is living in you. You just don't know it. And what is prayer all about? Well, you know, you can pray for answers and pray for a job and pray to do well on a test and all those things and pray for other people, and that's all well and good. But primarily, prayer is about communing with God. It's about God. Let's not forget that. Prayer is about God. And I especially want you to get in touch with God who lives within you. And more than anything else, that's what prayer is. When you pray, you ought to be seeking God. Not just seeking his hand and what he can do for you, but seeking his face and who he is. And that's really crucial. I just met a woman who was working on my teeth. She was a radiologist taking some pictures of my teeth. And I mentioned that I was a Catholic priest. And she said, well, Father, she said, I used to be Catholic, but I'm not going anymore. And, you know, I'm struggling in my marriage and struggling with this. And I said, well, you need to get back to God. She goes, yes, I know I do. And I said, well, here's what you got to do. You need to pray. That's the first way back. Maybe you've drifted from God and you're struggling, or maybe you've been going to church and you're struggling. First way back is to pray. And when I talk about prayer, again, you know, you're not just praying for other people and not just praying for the country and all those things. And all that, that's really good, and you're praying to God. But pray for a deep relationship. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So in other words, there can be a new rebirth. There can be a new welling up of the Holy Spirit within you. I remember when I was just 18 years old and, you know, born and brought up Catholic, wasn't going to church, and I started to feel this hunger deep within. What happened was I was going to college and started getting up in the morning, and I get up on the side of my bed and getting the sleepies out of my eyes, and I'd look around and I'd hear deep in my heart, you know, what is this? Or I'm missing something and I'm not fulfilled. And then I'd go on with my day, I'd forget all about that, and I'd get up the next morning, get the sleepies out of my eyes. Same thing. I'm missing something. Something's wrong. I don't know what life is. And you know, one of the ways that God will speak to you, because prayer isn't just us speaking to God, God speaks to us. And one of the ways that he speaks to us is through our conscience. And I'm praying that he'll speak through your conscience and speak through this TV program, speak through music, speak through creation, speak through the Bible. There's a number of different ways that God talks to us. So anyway, as I sat there, I said, you know what? I got to start getting back to God. I'm far from God. I don't know who God is. I'm not happy. I don't know what life is. So you know what I did? I got the Bible. My parents had a family Bible downstairs, and I got the Bible. And here I am, 18 years old. Where do you start? Well, I noticed wherever Jesus spoke, it was in red. So I cut out the black and white, and I went right for the red. And I'll never forget this. I went to the Gospel of Matthew, because I had a lot of red in it. And I turned to chapter 7, verse 7. And this is what I saw. Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek, and you will find. And I mean, you ever see a boxing glove go, it was like this boxing glove punched me right in the nose. And it was talking about asking and seeking and knocking, and it will be given to you. And that promise was not only for me, but it's for you too, for anybody, for whoever will receive it. And so I started asking, and I started seeking, and I started knocking. And I wasn't necessarily asking for things. I was asking for God. I wanted to know if God was true. I wanted to know if God was real. And what happened to me one night after months of reading the scripture and praying, just humbly going into my room, didn't have any theological background. I didn't have the degrees that I have now. Nobody instructed me about how to pray. That's what I mean. Prayer is very simple. It's instinctual. Anybody can do it. You don't need to have a degree in theology to be able to pray. All I would do is go to my room and just humbly pray. Lord, I'm seeking you. God, I want to know you. Lord, open my heart to you. So after months of that and reading and praying and trying to be faithful and giving my heart to God, I had an experience of the Holy Spirit one night that totally changed me. Remember what Jesus taught? He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? And I go like this, because the Spirit comes from within. Remember what I just told you? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes from within. And I felt love and the glory and the peace of God. And I continue to feel that in my life as I journey as a Christian. And that's why I love prayer. Prayer is like going on a little retreat. You take a little vacation with the Lord. And so I want you to pray. And remember, prayer is primarily about a relationship with God. And if you've drifted far from God, the way back is prayer. Or maybe you used to pray a lot and you've kind of drifted away. The way back is prayer. I remember the story of St. Paul of the Cross. He's the founder of our religious community, the Passionists. He loved to pray. Great mystic. Had a wonderful personal relationship with God. And persevered in prayer deep into his life. Even to when he died at age 81, he prayed. And he loved to pray the rosary. And the story was told that one time Paul was out there praying the rosary in the garden. And this is when he had just founded the community. And a number of students went off to go play and to recreate. They saw him praying the rosary. And so they came back about an hour later, and there was Paul still fingering the rosary. And one of the students shouted over to him. They said, Paul, how many rosaries are you praying? And Paul looked at him and he said, I'm still on the first Our Father. And what I love about that is that, you know, when you pray, it's not just words, words, words. It's intention. It's sincerity. It's simplicity. What was Paul doing? He was probably saying, Father. And just concentrating on Father. He didn't have to pray the whole five decades of the rosary. He just got caught up in Father and concentrated on that. You can spend time just meditating on that. So I want you to pray. Yes, it's good to pray prayers of petition. And, you know, I talked about that. And you do have it in you, and God will answer your prayers. But primarily, what God is after is that you develop a personal, intimate relationship with Him in the Holy Spirit. And as you pray, what happens is your heart starts to open up. And you can be filled with the Spirit. You may not always feel it, but you got to trust that God is there. Some of you have drifted away. You haven't been going to church. You haven't been praying. I believe it's providential that you tuned into this program. That's why I'm on TV, because I want to lead you back to God. I want you to have an on-fire relationship with God. And I want to tell you about a friend of mine, John Michael Talbot. He's a musician. And as we conclude this program, we're going to give you a little taste of his song, Come to the Quiet. And I pray that it will lead you into prayer. So listen now for a minute or two to this beautiful song, Come to the Quiet. And may it help you to pray.
Just come to the quiet. Come and still your soul like a child at rest on its mama's knee. Come and still your soul completely.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.